Flowers for Algernon, Disc 5.
June 13. I'm dictating this under great emotional strain. I've walked out on the whole thing. I'm on a plane headed back to New York alone, and I have no idea what I'm going to do when I get there. At first, I admit, I was in awe at the picture of an international convention of scientists and scholars gathered for an exchange of ideas. Here, I thought, was where it all really happened. Here it would be different from the sterile college discussions, because these were the men on the highest levels of psychological research and education, the scientists who wrote the books and delivered the lectures, the authorities people quoted. If Niemer and Strauss were ordinary men working beyond their abilities, I felt sure it would be different with the others. When it was time for the meeting, Niemer steered us through the gigantic lobby with its heavy Baroque furnishings and huge curving marble staircases, and we moved through the thickening knots of handshakers, nodders, and smilers. Two other professors from Beekman, who had arrived in Chicago just this morning, joined us. Professors White and Klinger walked a little to the right and a step or two behind Niemer and Strauss, while Bert and I brought up the rear. Standees parted to make a path for us into the grand ballroom, and Niemer waved to the reporters and photographers, who had come to hear at first hand about the startling things that had been done with a retardate adult in just a little over 3 months. Niemer had obviously sent out advance publicity releases. Some of the psychological papers delivered at the meeting were impressive. A group from Alaska showed how stimulation of various portions of the brain caused a significant development in learning ability, and a group from New Zealand had mapped out those portions of the brain that controlled perception and retention of stimuli. But there were other kinds of papers, too. P.T. Zellerman's study on the difference in the length of time it took white rats to learn a maze when the corners were curved rather than angular, or Warfel's paper on the effect of intelligence level on the reaction time of rhesus monkeys. Papers like these made me angry. Money, time, and energy squandered on the detailed analysis of the trivial. Bert was right when he praised Niemer and Strauss for devoting themselves to something important and uncertain, rather than to something insignificant and safe. If only Niemer would look at me as a human being. After the chairman announced the presentation from Beekman University, we took our seats on the platform behind the long table, Algernon in his cage between Bert and me. We were the main attraction of the evening, and when we were settled, the chairman began his introduction. I half expected to hear him boom out, "Ladies and gentlemen, step right this way and see the sideshow, an act never before seen in the scientific world. A mouse and a moron turned into geniuses before your very eyes." I admit I had come here with a chip on my shoulder. All he said was, "The next presentation really needs no introduction. We've all heard about the startling work being done at Beekman University, sponsored by the Wellberg Foundation grants, under the direction of the chairman of the psychology department, Professor Niemer, in cooperation with Dr. Strauss of the Beekman Neuropsychiatric Center. Needless to say, this is a report we've all been looking forward to with great interest. I turn the meeting over to Professor Niemer and Dr. Strauss."